This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 9th, 2017. The Fourth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Come to me, all who are heavy laden. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In these circles of the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter, we hear the word patrimony quite frequently. There are even people in the Ordinariate that banter back and forth about what that exactly means. Patrimony, something brought forward. Something that was brought forward from the English Catholic tradition into the world of post-conciliar Catholicism is using the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in one of our prayers. It's the penitential rite that we say right before the canon of the Mass. After that penitential rite, we ask God's forgiveness for our sins, and then we say, hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ hath all who truly turn to him. Comfortable words. They are designated in the Missal as the comfortable words. For those who are steeped in that tradition, they are affectionately referred to as the comfy words. We don't use the term comfortable for words too often, if ever, in colloquial English. We don't think about words being comfortable. We think about ourselves being comfortable temporally. These words are much more comfortable than any comfort that you can think about in this world as far as temporalities go. We can derive no more comfort than to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he calls us to himself, that he personally is going to be the one who comforts us if we allow it. Heard the words here. What comfortable words our Savior Christ saith to all who truly turn to him. That truly turning to him is what we need to understand about those comfortable words. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. We have to understand first and foremost that we need those words, that we are heavy laden, that we are burdened with a lot of stuff in this world. We are burdened by sin. If we are honest with ourselves, and if we pay attention to God's word and the teaching of his church, we have to all understand that we are all burdened with sin. I'm about to say, yeah, you are. Every single day, we sin in thought, word, and deed. Sin being any lack of conformity to or violation of the will of God. We are heavy laden by sin. In these days, heck, you can go to confession and confess some sins, and I hear the horror stories all the time. That's not a sin. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Or these reconciliation masses that we have. Everybody could come up and say one sin. I wish I only had one. Why do I need to just say one and have the burden of all the others on me? No, we sin in thought, word, and deed every day, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that we need to embrace our Savior's offer for comfort from this burden. It is a very dangerous thing to have a burden and not know you have it. It can be fatal. We are sinners. We are burdened with sin. You know, our Lord expects us to live in conformity with his will. He says, for instance, that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't. Notice I didn't say we can't. He expects us to, but we don't. We are burdened with sin. We are heavy laden with it. You got to kind of watch, though, because a lot of folks who understand that they are burdened by sin, they can receive another burden, which in rabbinical literature is called the yoke of the law. The yoke of the law is a grievous, heavy thing that hangs around the neck of those who aren't careful. The yoke of the law, for instance, God gave us how many commandments? 10. Okay, 10. Very good. 10 commandments. And the most you can get out of those is if you look at a positive and negative duty for each. For instance, if one says, thou shalt, that means that on the other side of the coin, you shalt not. Or if one says, thou shalt not, then there's another side of the coin, that means thou shalt. So out of his 10 rules, if we really want to get, parse things, you got 20. By the time our Lord came onto the picture of the world scene, bringing heaven and eternity into this temporal, there were over 600 rules. Now, if God gave us 10, where did the other 600 plus come from? It came from men. Men had put a grievous burden on people. No, not just the 10, but this, and this, and this, and this. And that's a burden that a lot of people carry, particularly people who know that they're sinners. All of a sudden, their faith becomes something of a matter of rule-keeping. It's not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's dotting I's and crossing T's. It's not embracing Him who says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Sin, the burden of the law, trying to do right, not do wrong. But there's another really practical aspect of the whole thing, and that's just, to use a very not theological term and a very imprecise term, stuff. We are burdened with stuff. Stuff, what does that mean? Fill in the blank. What's your stuff? With what do you struggle? Stuff. Your own interior stuff. We don't only have to deal with our own stuff. We have to deal with the stuff of others that are family members, children, elderly parents, good friends. They have stuff and they want to share. And then you deal with their stuff also. Our Lord is talking about this stuff. You got stuff? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. I will refresh you. Not my teachings will refresh you. Not your knowing the catechism will refresh you. I will refresh you. The Lord Jesus Christ personally will give you rest. Notice he doesn't say, I and or keeping the Mosaic law will refresh you. He doesn't say, I or Muhammad will refresh you. He doesn't say, I and or Buddha will refresh you. I and I alone will refresh you. I will give you rest. Allow me to give you rest. Those who truly come to him, those who understand him personally, not just what he says, but who he is. This comfort is what we refer to theologically, and we hear all the time this word, grace. Grace is something that we do not deserve. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve him to do anything for us. He has just willingly presented to us. And if we embrace it with faith and obedience, that grace will be poured out upon us, and he will allow us to be refreshed. He will give us rest. He lightens our burdens. When we talk about grace, those graces are manifest in different ways in our life. One is sacramentally. If you engage in your sacramental life, and I mean engage in it, I'm not talking about the bread and water. You go to Mass on Sunday. That's okay. But if you really want to be refreshed, if you're dying of thirst, you know, you've been out in the sun doing this, doing that and everything. You've been out there all day and you're just dying of thirst. You know, what would your, somebody comes and brings you a little paper cup of water. You're like, yeah, thanks. I mean, yeah, it's a little helpful, but wouldn't you like, that's what our Lord offers us for the taking. Masses, whenever you want to come during the week. You know, that to avail ourselves of the sacraments is where we receive these graces objectively. Not words, but truly, objectively. The Eucharist, the confessional. And they really work. The world guffaws even the thought that something supernatural can help you overcome the natural. Case in point, chastity. That whole subject of chastity. Our Lord says, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This discussion of chastity, everybody's got an opinion about this, about that. Guess what? Chastity. How about this one? How simple does this get? If you're not married, you live a life of abstinence. That's impractical. It's unnatural because that just doesn't work. You're right. For the natural person, he can provide us spiritual graces that allow it to happen. And there are millions of people who have lived their lives waiting to be married or never getting married, and who lived chaste lives because they have relied on the graces of God to do it. Yeah, you're right. We can't do it of our own nature. We love that stuff. Only He can give us rest and refreshment from those struggles, and He makes it easy. You're not married? Live a life of abstinence. How much more simple does it get? How much more light is it? You don't have to figure out one thing. Very practical. Another one is priestly celibacy. In chastity, the sacraments, confession, the Eucharist, they gird us up. They objectively present and give us graces to withstand those temptations. Priestly celibacy, another category. Again, you hear the same thing. They shouldn't make priests do that. That's unnatural. Heck yeah, you're absolutely right. But guess what? The priesthood is a supernatural vocation. It's a supernatural vocation. And if you have a supernatural vocation and you are to serve our Lord with 100% of your being, don't get married. I hear a lot of people, it's not scriptural that priests are... Yeah, it is. Try reading Corinthians, okay? Corinthians says, you know, most of you can't hang with this. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Most of you can't hang with this, so get married so you avoid sin. But if you want to serve me, if you want to serve me 100%, then don't get married. Because if you're married, your attention is deviated. Hence the Holy Spirit's wisdom in that, and the wisdom of the church that validates that by saying, generally speaking, priests are not married. They should not be. Okay? Take it from me. Our Lord allows it. He will help us with that. He say, well, no, it's unnatural. People can't. Yeah, I just said that it is. So we have to fight against our human nature. How do you do that? You don't. Jesus does it for you. What about all the scandals? Well, for one thing, there have always been scandals. Are they up in our face now? Do they seem more rampant now than in the past? Yeah. if you really want to discuss the subject of prayer and its objective reality and its objective working in our lives, I would have to submit to you it's because prayer has been mitigated in the life of priests since the middle 20th century. Before the middle of the 20th century, at every single Mass, which were more than a couple a day sometimes, as the priest was vesting, a lot of you don't realize this if you serve or if you've ever been in there, Mass starts for us about 15 minutes before it starts for anyone else. We go in there, and there are vesting prayers. There's a lot of stuff on under this. There are different pieces that are under this. It's not a cassock alb. That is something that is made up. There are cassocks and there are albs. The cassock alb is a hybrid thing. But generally, in our day and age, a priest goes in, throws on his cassock alb, a stole, and his polyester, and he bolts out and does his thing. That's not how it ever was. The priest, as he vests, for instance, there's two particular. One is the amice. The amice, the hood, the scarf around it, is actually a hood. When you put it on, you put it over your head first and then drape it around. And that prayer in English is, "Place, O Lord, this helmet of salvation upon my head to repel the assaults of the devil." And then there's the cincture, the rope, the belt that you put on. And in that prayer, it is, "Quench in me, O Lord, the fire of concupiscence, that the grace of temperance may abide in me." Priests don't pray those anymore. Priests don't pray, Let's just say it has been my experience in assisting at other parishes that I walk in there and I'll do preparatory prayers myself, and the celebrant will come waltzing in 3 minutes, 2 minutes beforehand, throws on his stuff, and bolts out the door. That's the common practice. His first prayers that he say are the prayers at Mass. It has never been that way. When the priest said those prayers about repelling the assaults of the devil and that he may be girded with purity, they're objective. God heard the prayers of the faithful priest, and he allowed those prayers to work in his life. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of men in the priesthood have served the Lord for decades and had not problem one, because our Lord was with them and girded them out. If you don't pray for it, okay, you want to deal with this yourself? Go ahead. Look what's happened. Lack of prayer. And that, well, I'm not a priest. What that applies in your life also. Chastity, whatever. If you pray, he will work if you are faithful. If you truly turn to him, as it says in the comfortable words. Our Catholic life, all of us, is a walk. It is a struggle. Notice our Lord does not say, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and all your problems will go away." There's not one allusion toward that. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you." He will give you that water that you need. If you're out working in the yard all day, and it's hot and nasty in July in Florida, you're out there for a few hours, you think you're going to die. What do? You're not done yet. You go in the house. You sit in the AC for a while. You might take a little nap. You get your belly full and you drink a lot. And guess what? You go back out and finish up. There is still work to be done, but you're refreshed. You've taken your rest. That's what our Lord does for us. Those are those comfortable words. It's not just words. It's a promise. If you truly turn to him, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He has done all the work for us. He's got all the water. We just need to ask him for it. We don't even need to ask. He's offered it. We just need to take it. The yoke of Christ is not a new obligation. It's a submission to his reign. That's what makes it easy. Like I was talking about chastity before. Oh, should I do this? Can I do this? How far can I go with this? How does this look to other people? No! Keep it simple. You're not married. You don't do anything like that. You let the chip fall where they may. All right? It's very simple. It's a yoke. It's easy, but it's still a yoke. You know? It's not libertine. Oh, I come to Jesus, I can do whatever I want. No, not at all. It's still work. I'll leave you with the words of St. Jose Maria. St. Jose Maria Escriva says, and he's talking in the context of this rest that our Lord gives us, and this idea that the burden doesn't go away, it just gets better. St. Jose Maria says, whoever gives himself to the work of Christ cannot expect to have a free moment. For even to rest is to relax with activities that just require less effort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.